As we open up here in lesson number 55 in the book of 1 Samuel, we're in chapter 29. We're going to pick up with verse number 6. Let me tell you where we ended. Saul had spent his time with the witch of Endor, and he knows that he's going to die on the next day. Samuel's already said, tomorrow you're going to be with me. And Samuel was in the place called Paradise, a place of peaceful rest. And now that was Nathan giving that story. And we think that Gad now, who is with David, backs up in the same time frame, because you can't put the stories on top of each other. So we have to read them one after the other, but we're really backing up in time. And so Achish has to go and have a conversation with David and send him back home. See, when they left the Philistine area, they took David and his men and went up 80 plus miles to Gilboa, or to the area of Gilboa. The Philistines are camped just west of Gilboa, and Gilboa is where Saul is. And now the Philistines have noticed that these Hebrews are with them, and they rejected them. And so here we hear Achish's conversation with David as he sends him and his men away. This is probably written to us by Gad, who's writing this chronicle down for us. Verse number 6 of chapter 29. Then Achish called David and said to him, as the Lord lives, you have been upright, and your going out and your coming in with me in the army are pleasing in my sight. For I have not found evil in you from the day of your coming to me to this day. Nevertheless, you are not pleasing in the sight of the Lord's. Now therefore return and go in peace, that you may not displease the lords of the Philistines. And David said to Achish, but what have I done? And what have you found in your servant from the day when I came before you to this day, that I may not go and fight against the enemies of my lord the king? But Achish replied to David, I know that you are pleasing in my sight, like an angel of God. Nevertheless, the commanders of the Philistines have said, he must not go up with us to battle. Now then arise early in the morning with the servants and your lord who have come with you. And as soon as you have arisen early in the morning and have light, depart. So David arose early, he and his men, to depart in the morning and to return to the land of the Philistines. And the Philistines went up to Jezreel. David was headed back to the land of Philistines, to Ziklag, his home. On the day that the battle is going to occur, and when Saul is going to be killed, David and his men left the camp of the Philistines and started the 80-mile trip back home to Ziklag. With the Hebrews gone, the Philistines moved from Aphek to the camp of Jezreel next to the army of Israel. And on that same morning that David left, Saul arrived from the house of the witch of Endor. If you remember this, from 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verses 19 through 22, it tells us the names of more men who defected to David at that time. These men defected to David and left with him and went down to Ziklag, back with him. Mercy. Day after day, men joined David. But this is the last day of Saul's life, and David has left with his men. It is interesting that the compiler of 1 Samuel continued with the story being told in the last passage, and the eyewitness testimony of the writer, probably Gad, who was with David. And even though it passes by the events of the battle of Saul, when Saul dies, and tells of the three-day journey they made when they left the Philistines of Aphek, and what they found when they arrived at Ziklag, it is the story of David as the victor at Ziklag, but is also the story of David's Ziklag being raided. Now, let me say that a different way. David, on his first day out, it's going to take him three homes to get to Ziklag, and on the first day as he's headed back, Saul's going to die. But David doesn't know it. No telephones, no emails, no Twitter, no Facebook, none of that. Verse number 1 in chapter 30. Then it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had made a raid on the Negev and on Ziklag and had overthrown Ziklag and burned it with fire, and they took captive the women and all who were in it, both small and great, without killing anyone, and carried them off and went their way. And when David and his men came to the city, behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted their voices and wept until there was no strength in them to weep. Now David's two wives had been taken captive, Ahinoam the Jezreelite, and Abigail the widow of Nabal the Carmelite. The only way the writer knew how to give this summary of what happened with David and what the men found in Ziklag was for the writer to write after David had led his men and retrieved the families, because he could not have known that they were taken captive and not destroyed unless he wrote well after David had rescued them. Perhaps when David and his men arrived at Ziklag, they were puzzled because there were no bodies there, no dead bodies in the village. But that point alone would have told the Hebrews that their families had been led away, but doesn't mean they're alive. But as for the current safety of them not being in the town, it did not guarantee that they were still alive. No doubt, Gad is with David while Nathan is with Saul. This passage was taken from the Chronicles of Gad, which we have also identified previously in 1 Chronicles 29:29. The writer tells us of David's men being embittered at David because of the loss of their family and their possessions. Verse number 6, chapter 30. Moreover, David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him. For all the people were embittered, each one because of his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. David must have been distressed because he is the one who lied to Achish of Gath and agreed to go along with his men along and become the bodyguards of Achish and accompany Achish on the military campaign to defeat the Israelites. And when the lords of the Philistines rejected David and his men, they returned to Ziklag and found that they had been plundered. And at this point, we must wonder, who would do such a thing? We will soon find out that David and his men were the catalyst for the raid because of what they had done to the same family members when they raided them. They did not know that David was the cause, but they knew the ones who raided their families previously came from the area of the Philistines, they thought. With all seeming to be lost, the warriors of David considered stoning him. This can be a lesson in no good deed goes unpunished. The majority of these men had voluntarily joined David in two waves. A few had joined sporadically throughout the past 2 years, and David had fed them, their families, had led them successfully through many skirmishes without the loss of a single man. He was a great leader. They came to him because they knew that he was anointed the next king of Israel and that the Lord's hand was on him. And in addition, they came to him because they did not like the deeds of King Saul. Then in one moment of arriving at Ziklag, some of their hearts were turned against David with the thought of stoning him. How quickly loyalties turn. But David gathered himself from his distresses and decided to trust the Lord and let him give him strength and guidance. In order to gather strength and guidance from the Lord, David needed to pray. And we find David's prayer was answered in verse number 7. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, the son of Ahimelech, please bring me the ephod. So Abiathar brought the ephod to David. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this band? Shall I overtake them? And he said to him, pursue, for you will surely overtake them, and you will surely rescue all. Now, if you remember, Abiathar was a priest who was permanently attached to David since he escaped from being killed along with his father and the 85 other priests in his family by King Saul. Actually, by Doeg at the order of King Saul. Abiathar was at the Rock of the Wild Goats with David. He was living in the Philistine area with David. He had been on the raid with David and his men against the Amalekites and the Gershites and the Gerzites, those other two families. And he had been in the valley of Jezreel to support Achish in their attack of Israel's army against Saul. He had just arrived with David at Ziklag after a three-day journey from Jezreel, from Gilboa. When David called for the ephod, David was not going to put it on. David was calling for Abiathar to put it on because Abiathar was a priest and David needed a prayer and he needed that prayer to be received and to be answered from the Lord, and the prayer had to be given in the right way, in the right dress, in the right attitude. And David felt that only with Abiathar could that happen. The Lord heard David's prayer and the Lord answered immediately. David was cleared to go. As we will see, there must have been more to the Lord's answer than we are told in this passage. How did David know which way to search for these bandits? We do not know, but the Lord must have given David the direction to search for their families. So from Ziklag, all David and all his men headed west to come to the brook Besor. The men had already traveled at least 20 miles that day on their last leg, maybe 30 miles, on their last leg on the third day home from Ziklag. They were not empty-handed. They were carrying everything they needed in their backpacks and all of that, if they had backpacks, to continue on. They were carrying everything they needed to survive on the road and to camp for battles. Now, with the answer of the Lord, all the men marched another 20 miles on the same day to the brook of Besor late in the day. 40 miles can be walked, but it is a trek, folks. And when they arrived at the brook, we hear that some of David's men were absolutely exhausted, verse number 9. So David went, he and his 600 men who were with him, and they came to the brook Besor, where those left behind remained. But David pursued. He and 400 men, for 200 men were too exhausted to cross the brook Besor, remained behind. Where was the brook Besor? Besor was a stream that flowed into the Mediterranean Sea, located about 5 miles south of the Philistine city of Gaza, one of the five major cities of the Philistines' land. It was on the west border of the tribal area with a western wall near the Mediterranean Sea, and it was also the southernmost city of the Philistine area. Other villages that Gaza supported were further south than Gaza, but they were supported by Gaza, and the inhabitants ran to Gaza, the walled city in the area in times of distress. How did David know to take the road west out of Ziklag, which would have taken them to Gath, where they would have picked up the trade route going southwest to Gaza? We do not know. But we surely know that the Lord must have told David that information when he answered David's prayer. Once David and his 600 men arrived at the brook Besor, 200 were too exhausted to continue. David and 400 men were intent on continuing their track to find their families. The day was late. It's the third day. It's the same third day. And David and his men, they had arrived at Ziklag. They've gone to Besor. And now he and his 400 men are pressing on westward, even into the night. On the way, an Egyptian was discovered. We will call him David's Egyptian informant. Verse number 11. Now they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread and he ate. And they provided him water to drink. They gave him a piece of fig cake and two clusters of raisins, and he ate. Then his spirit revived, for he had not eaten bread or drunk water for 3 days and three nights. David said to him, "To whom do you belong, and where are you from?" And he said, "I am a young man of Egypt, a servant of an Amalekite, and my master left me behind when I fell sick 3 days ago. We made a raid on the Negev of the Cherethites, and on that which belongs to Judah, and on the Negev of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire." Then David said to him, "Will you bring me down to this band?" And he said, "Swear to me by God that you will not kill me or deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring you down to this band." Notice that the Egyptian was willing to spill the beans on his master if David would not harm him and return him to his master. Don't return to the master, I'll help you. But then, in more of this passage, there's more to this passage than just that point. First, we learn that the Egyptian's master was an Amalekite. Does that ring a bell? David and his men had made a raid on the Amalekites, the Gershites, and the Gerzites just a short time before this in the story. And although David killed every Amalekite, Gershite, and Gerzite in the villages they raided, they did not kill all the Amalekites in the wilderness of Sur. David did not leave any witnesses in those towns he attacked, but that does not mean that Amalekites did not see them as they returned to the land of the Philistines. The Amalekites did not know who specifically was responsible for the deaths of their relatives, but they knew they came from the Philistine area as well as the Negev in southern Judah, and this they raided, the Amalekites raided, had to be an attempt to revenge their dead. Second, notice the timing in the passage. The Egyptian had been left by his master 3 days before. 3 days before, David and his men were just leaving the valley of Jezreel, Gilboa. This information means that when the Amalekites heard that the Philistines were making their way to Jezreel, which was a three-day journey, the Amalekites began to plunder the area told to David by the Egyptian upon the exit of the Philistines from their homeland. 3 days up to Gilboa, 3 days back. The Amalekites had time to attack the Philistines. Well, this information meant that David, probably his town of Ziklag, was plundered in that time. And it was, while he was on his way back. Fortunately, the Amalekites did not have much further to go to be near their home in the wilderness of Sur. I mean, they're just a little ways from Ziklag over here to the wilderness of Sur. They're just a little ways away. David must have agreed to the Egyptian's request, and we are not told whether or not he did, but by the following report, David must have agreed. David and his men took the Egyptian with him, and he led them to the camps of the Amalekite, where we hear of David's property being recovered. Verse number 16, chapter 30. When he had brought him down, behold, they were spread over all the land, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil that they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from the land of Judah. David slaughtered them from twilight until evening of the next day, and not a man of them escaped except 400 young men who rode on camels and fled. So David recovered all that the Amalekites had taken and rescued his two wives. But nothing of theirs was missing, whether small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything that they had taken for themselves. David brought it all back. So David had captured all the sheep and the cattle, which the people drove ahead of the other livestock, and they said, "This is David's spoil." The fight was not quick. Tired from more than 40 miles journey, plus whatever else it was to catch up, David and his men came to the camp of the Amalekites as the sun was going down, and they began to fight until the next evening of the next afternoon of the next day. They were all surely exhausted by now, and we do not know whether or not they rested any time before returning to Bezer, but surely they did. What we do know is that everyone rescued their families alive, not one missing. Even the families of those 200 men who were left at Bezer watching the baggage were rescued. And everyone found all the items that were taken from Ziklag. But there were more than just the things that belonged to the Hebrews at Ziklag. There were the things that belonged to all the other areas that were raided. All the extras were called David's spoils. And when David with his 400 men returned to Bezer with all the family members and spoils, David greeted the 200 who watched over the baggage with joy. It was time for David's spoils to be divided. Verse number 21. When David came to the 200 men who were too exhausted to follow David, who had also been left at the brook Bezer, and they went out to meet David and to meet the people who were with him, then David approached the people and greeted them. The men left at Bezer could not have been happier as when they came out to meet their fellow warriors and meet their loved ones who were coming to be with them. It was surely a time of great joy, but that joy would soon be dampened with the words of some worthless men in the group who had continued with David that day. The writer tells us of the decision of the worthless men, chapter 30, verse 22. Then all the wicked and worthless men among those who went with David said, "Because they did not go with us, we will not give them any of the spoils that we have recovered, except to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart." The worthless men, the worthless wicked men, were willing for the exhausted 200 men to have their families, but nothing else. And they mandated that no spoils would go to them from the victory. But David had a say in the division of the spoils, because the spoils belonged to David. He quickly mandated the correction of the worthless men. Verse number 23. Then David said, "You must not do so, my brothers, with what the Lord has given us, who has kept us and delivered us into our hand, the band that came against us. And who will listen to you in this matter? For as his share is who goes down to the battle, so shall his share be who stays by the baggage. They shall share alike." So it has been from that day forward that he made a statute and an ordinance for Israel to this day. How did the writer know that the ordinance was still in place to this day? And he made the ordinance because he wasn't king yet. He had to be writing after the fact. When the men left with David to go to Jezreel, each man took everything he needed to camp along the way, including his bedding, his shelter, his food. And on the way back to Ziklag, the men still had those same type of supplies, probably fewer in number. And they were traveling heavy to begin with, and they're traveling a little lighter as they got back. And when they left Ziklag, the men still had the same supplies, and they were still heavy. And so they're at Bezer, because there was enough exhausted men to guard, and 400 men could also leave most of their gear and all their and go and travel light. To David, those who guarded the baggage were just as important to those in battle who fought. Therefore, every warrior would receive a share and share alike portion of David's spoils. We also find a clue as to when this passage was recorded. So it has been from that day forward that he made a statute and an ordinance for Israel to this day. David did not have the authority to make the ordinance on that day, yet he did. By this day, Saul had been dead for 4 days, but we don't know it yet. But David did not know it either. Also, David would not become the king over all of Israel for 2 more years. And in order for this ordinance to become an ordinance for the nation of Israel, this passage had to be written after David became king of all Israel, 3 years after this point in the story. David's spoils were shared, but he did not share them all with his warriors. He had in mind some others with whom he wanted to bless. Verse number 26. Now when David came to Ziklag, he sent some of the spoils to the elders of Judah, to his friends, saying, "Behold, a gift to you from the spoils of the enemies of the Lord, to those who were in Bethel, and to those who were in Ramoth of the Negev, and to those who were in Jatir, and to those who were in Aor, and to those who were in Sithmoth, and to those who were in Eshemoah, and to those who were in Rakhel, and to those who were in the cities of the Gerasimites, and to those who were in the city of the Kenites, and to those who were in Hormah, and to those who were at Bor Ashan, and to those who were at Akak, and to those who were at Hebron, and to all the places where David himself and his men were accustomed to go. From the time David started his run from King Saul, David was blessed to be helped by many people in different places. Then the 600 men came to be with David. The food needed alone was staggering, and we are not told this to be a fact, but more than likely, the people who lived in the areas that are mentioned in this passage all helped feed David's men. And because they were kind to him, David was more than enough to share with them. The clue is found in verse 31, which says, "And to all the places where David himself and his men were accustomed to go." These had to be the places where David and his men went for help in times of need. The writer of this part is telling us David's storyline. Once he chronicled the time from the Jezreel to Ziklag to Bezer and back to Ziklag, we know about 6 days had passed. But he then spoke of the sharing of the spoils with folks, which would have taken several days to complete. Therefore, our timeline is kind of lost within a week or so. But in the first verse of 2 Samuel, we will learn that David was at Ziklag for 2 days when the messenger came to David with the news of Saul's death. 6 + 2 = 8, a little over a week. But with the next chapter, the last chapter in the book of 1 Samuel, the compiler turns back the clock and takes us back to the day that he was rejected by the Philistines there at Jezreel, where Gilboa is, and he had to leave. That's where we head back to hear the story of the end of Saul.